Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning. Another time, another opportunity, Lord, to gather here. A privilege, O Lord, for us who are called by thy name. And we are a people, Father, saved by the blood of Jesus Christ, and by his resurrection, conquering death, O Lord, to give us life. We thank you, Father, for that Spirit of yours that thou hast given to thy only begotten Son, in whom thou love, in whom you have all this plan, even before the foundation of the world, that through him and by him we are redeemed back to you, that we may come to that place of perfection, that we may come to the place of the glory that is in thy word. For we know that all men have sinned against thee, and all fall short of the glory of God. But we thank you, Lord, this morning that we are gathered here because you have made this day a blessing for all your saints around the world has together. We are here, Father, not because we are any special people that we choose to come, but because you call us and you make us your children. And Lord, in our heart there is this desire and the love that flows from the throne of God above into our hearts and draw us, that compel us to come into the house of the Lord, to fellowship, to worship, and to hear of thy word. Father, we thank you, Lord, it is not our doing and our desire, but it is, as thou hast said, we are your workmanship, and you are doing a work in us. And all we have to do is to believe what you say, Father. We thank you for this opportunity. We ask for your presence now in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. All right, you may be seated. And you know, lately, I don't know, we will say lately, but there's a lot of troubles on the horizon. But as to political issues, not as to military issues or financial issues, but actually in the religion or in the religious world. You know, no matter what a person believes, whatever religion a person believes, what he holds to, he will believe that his religion is true. Is that all right? Unless, of course, there are people who just hold the religion because it was handed to them. Down from the great-great-great-grandfather down to him. And so, well, as the whole, it seems to be that, well, it was all in their blood. All because it was all in their culture, the traditions. All maybe it comes out from the family of the Tan, or the Gan, or the Lim, or the Li, or whatever. So, just hold on to it. But they will believe that it's true, you know. But in all things that we are looking at today, we are going to deal with the thing that is floating around in what God has given us through the Prophet William Marion Branham. Now, over the years since I came into the message in 71, until now, I have been observing and I have seen that many who came into the faith, some years later, they rejected, and not only rejected, they even fight against it. And I began to notice that there's such a trend, and just recently, you know, as I've told you that this man, I'm not going to mention the name, you know, the grandson of someone that is well known in the Brown Tabernacle back then, and the grandfather was a believer, and I'm not sure about the father, but he was also a believer, but somehow in his journey in this faith for a couple of years, suddenly he turned around and began to say that, well, this message doesn't make sense here, makes sense, doesn't make sense then. So, and because he was looking at the extreme followers of this message. And then he got connected with a man well known by the name of John Kenneth. And I will mention his name because he is well known in the circle, because he had been 12 years in this message in a church in Tucson. But because he could not get an answer, every time he read the book of Brother Branham, or hear or heard the tapes of Brother Branham, and there were some discrepancies, something that Brother Branham said that does not tally with the scripture or does not tally with certain statements that Brother Branham made. So much so, he kept on asking the pastor for an answer. And well, the pastor, whom is well known too, could not give him the answer. And all that he could give him is to say, well, you just believe what the prophet said. You know. And so in the end, that man, John Kenneth, left the church and became anti-Branham. You know, and set up a ministry. I can't remember the name of that ministry, something about awareness or something, of trying to fight religious cult. And so he fought. And one time I talked to him on the phone, when I was in the state in Tucson, I talked to him on the phone. And immediately, because he had read my books and the logos and the original scene, you know what, the moment I would discuss with him, he said, you know, you are a Branhamite. I said, no, I'm not a Branhamite. Oh, you're not a Branhamite. I said, what do you mean by I'm a Branhamite? Because you follow Brother Branham, you believe his teaching on the original sin, the serpent sin. You are a Branhamite. I said, is there anything wrong with the book that you read? My book that you read. Can you find any fault with it? And I said, not all people who follow Brother Branham or believe Brother Branham are Branhamites. No, you are a Branham because you believe Brother Branham. Or you believe Branham. So, you know, he set up, and that was back in the 80s. I think it's early 80s. Either 80 or something now, 80s or 81, around that time. And until now, he's become very active. And in fact, a lot of people went to his website. A lot of people were confused because of the extremism that's going on, that they went to his website and they also turned around and began to be anti-Branham. You know, this has been a situation which is very pathetic, because right here in Singapore, the same situation we see. When I came in the church in the Master 71, I saw what was going on in the first church. Now, when a person believes, as it is said, if you believe right, you will live right. You agree with that? If you've got a corrupt doctrine or teaching, or, you know, we can say out there, people who don't believe the right things, you know, like a punk, you know, or like a hippies, for example. And that's where they live it, their lifestyle. Is that alright? And the rich, who want to get richer, and they don't care, you know, how they live their life, they spend and all this, they probably make millions of dollars through, some corrupt means. Or in China today, we have a lot of people who produce food that are corrupt. Any money, they couldn't care. You see? So they believe that way, and so they live their lifestyle. And the same thing, if we believe right in the word of the Lord, we will live right. We know what is true. If you don't believe it right, then you don't have a right understanding. Therefore, your life is all messed up. Even in your faith. You see? Now, the thing is this, one of the approach I want to say is, I want to help you, brother and sister, because down the road, I don't know how long, I'm just waiting that the Lord will come in the next 6 years, before the next 6 years expire. Because we cannot go on any more further than that, for all I care. Because what we're looking at now, by the time in the next 6 years, Israel will have been 70 years. And God had dealt with Israel before 70 years when Christ first came. And when Jerusalem was then destroyed. Is that right? And scattered the people. You see. And for those of Hutta who knew what the apostle was saying, they escaped death in that city. But here we have another 6 more years to go before the Gentile age is finished. And God turned to the Jew. What then? Well, will we be caught up together in safety to meet the Lord in the air? You see, religion is an opium. Well, an opium, as you all know, it's been said. by one of the communist leaders, I don't know whether it's Mao Zedong or Stalin or Lenin. And which is practically true. People live in a religion like, you know, like an op- like they're smoking opium or tobacco or, you know.
Karl Marx.
Karl Marx said that. Alright. So you see, you, if you don't have the right understanding of the word, then we have a problem. In the Bible, Jesus said that the people of Israel, in hearing, they hear not. When whatever he was delivering, and because the reason why they hear not was, for one reason, God could even blind them. You see. Just that God blinded Israel to turn the gospel to the Gentiles. We are the Gentiles. I want you to go to two verses of scripture that we are familiar with. And I want to take these two verses of scripture to make it known to us, how can we have that faith for us to make the translation? Because it takes rapturing faith. It takes something for our body to change before we can go out. We are not going to walk down the road and say, every Christian say, you walk down the road one day, you will just, you know, your body will change, your trousers and your shirt, or your dress and your skirt, and your false teeth, your glasses, your watches, all this will drop down and you will fly off into the air. That's not going to happen. Or in the plane or in the bus, if you are on the train and you are sitting, you just disappear in front of the public. That is not going to happen. Because my Bible tells me, by touch and shadow, that's not the way it goes. Everything that God do there, God must first give you a message, give you something, an instruction for you to follow. He gave you a message, the gospel, instruction to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And thou shalt be saved. And follow instruction, repent, be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, and you receive the Holy Ghost. Without that instruction, without the gospel, then you cannot have salvation. Isn't that right? The same thing, if you want to be healed, there are certain reasons why people are not healed. But it's not always the case. People say, oh, you are sick because you have sinned. Well, there are some cases that is true. But not all cases because you are sick, therefore you have sinned. Not necessarily. But if you are sick and you know that you have unconfessed sin, then you need to confess before the Lord can heal you. You see. Is that alright? So there are always instructions. So for us to be ready to go, there must be a message, some instruction, some manual, so we will say, for God to tell us to look at this instruction in the manual, how that we can be ready for the rapture. You look at these two verses in the book of Mark, chapter 4, verse 24. Mark chapter 4, verse 24. And we read verse 21 first. At least we get in the context. Mark chapter 24, verse 41. Verse 21. And Jesus said unto them, is a candle brought to be put under the bushel or under the bed, and not to be set on a candlestick? For there is nothing hid that shall not be manifest, neither was anything kept secret, and that it should come abroad. If any man have an ear to hear, or any man have ears to hear, let him hear. And he said unto them, take heed what you hear. For with what measure you meet, it shall be measured to you, and unto you that hear shall more be given. For he that hath to him shall be given, and that he that hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he hath. Oh, you understand what it says here? When a man bring forth the light is not be hid under the cupboard or a basket that covers it, because we need the light to shine the room. And whenever it shines, therefore you should be able to see what is in that room, because the light permeates through the room. Okay? But it says also that, therefore, when you see, hearing and seeing, of course you are receiving something. Okay? Seeing is to be able to perceive. Hearing also you are perceiving something. So he said that if you take heed what you hear now, and said is that one measure that is given to you,
It shall be measured to you, and unto you that hear shall more be given. Alright. Some people here, they got so much. Some people here, they got more than the other person. Right? No matter what measure that you receive, and if you hear it, then more shall be given to you. But, he says further, he that hath, to him shall be given, and he that hath not, even to that which he hath, will be taken away from him. Now, lots of people come into this message. But they say they got the truth. They want to measure, oh, I received the message, blah, 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 and all these things, and I believe Malachi 4, 5, and 6. But you see, they do not have the ear to continue hearing right. And so what happened? It is taken away from them, even what they have. And that's why many people have turned around to fight against this very message that they first received. Because why? They do not take heed to what they hear. Now I'm going to ask, go to the next one. Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8 is similar, but a word is differently used here. Chapter 8, verse 16 to 18. Alright, no man, when he have lighted a candle, cover it with a vessel or put it under a bed, but set it on a candlestick that they which enter in may see the light. For nothing is secret that shall not be made manifest, nothing, neither anything hid that shall not be known and come abroad. Take heed therefore how you hear, for whosoever hath to him shall be given, and whosoever hath not from him shall be taken even that which he seem to have. Well, you know what? A lot of people just like that. People say, I'm a Christian. I have the gospel. He seemed to have it. But down the road, 2-3 years, he rejected it. So the same thing with this entire message. They believed it, they embraced this to be true, and down the road, they couldn't even have what they have in the first place. They don't even have it because, you know, in the first place, they only seem to have it. Now, two words here. Take it how you hear and what you hear. How do you hear when a person says something? What are you looking? What are you listening to? What are you hearing? You understand? You know one thing what I want to say first of all, that William Marion Branham, he was a man. I don't care what the Branhamites said. I don't care even what Joseph Branham said, who believed that his father is Jesus. I don't even care, Billy Paul. Because that is what happened to this very truth that God has given us. That even the family, their promised children, have made Brother Branham a God. Being God, being Jesus. You know what? I read a book written by someone who had been very well acquainted with the message for many years. And the man said, I know Eddie Baskell, how he was, what kind of person he was, and what happened to him when he came into the message. He was a changed person. Oh yes. This message either changed you for good or changed you to become very Coptic. Do you understand what I'm talking? And this message even have killed many people, destroyed many people's life. You know why? Because they were looking to William Marion Branham as an absolute being, without fault, without mistakes. Oh, how people believe that, how wrong they have been. And even to this day, we have people like Donald Bruce. Huh? And many others like him. They will quote Brother Branham, and when you show them the scripture, they have, nope, the prophet said. Nope, the prophet said. You show them what the Bible said, nope, but the Bible said, or the prophet said this. Right here in Singapore. That's why I already told a brother yesterday when I met him. Why? The reason why we don't have anything to do with all these other churches. I won't invite them. When we have a minister come, if they know that they come, they can come. But I won't invite them. Because there's too much hypocrisy going on. You know. Oh, Someone told me, but such a person, he doesn't preach Brother Branham, he doesn't quote Brother Branham. Oh yeah, sure, he doesn't. But he will preach only within what Brother Branham said. You understand what I'm talking about? You understand what I'm talking about? Yes. You know that once in a while I quote Brother Branham. That's not wrong for you to quote Brother Branham. The same thing once in a while they quote Brother Branham. That's okay. But they will not go within the confine or the perimeter of all those books and tapes of Brother Branham. And that's how scary it becomes. You following me? Yes. Oh, Brother Branham said 3.5 years left. 3.5 years left. Why don't you look into the Bible? You know what? Sometimes I was just wondering. The brother was asking me last night on Skype. You know what I'm saying? He said, why did Michael, the archangel, went to Satan and said to Satan, the Lord rebuked him? He was asking me, he said, Brother Dan, if we have the devil troubling us, what do we say to him? I said, just tell him to go to hell. Where he came from. Go where he came from. Just tell him to go to hell. So why did not Michael, the archangel, tell Satan to go to hell? You know what I mean? I said, he's a spirit, they're angels. Both of them angels. You know? And Michael had only the instruction to say to him, Satan, over the body of Moses, the Lord forbid you. And he knew. Satan knew. He had no right to the body of Moses. Michael don't have to say any other thing. Do you understand? So if I have a conversation with a brother or a preacher, and if he's so adamant, the problem said this, and if I am anointed by the Spirit, and then the moment I felt not the Lord, I will tell him, go to hell. No, I will not say that, of course. I will tell him, the Lord rebuked you for your own self-deception. You see, and if he has any spiritual life in him, he will know he's wrong. That's not what the minister over the other side would talk to me over some doctrine. Just because I uttered something a little mystic. He picked up that mistake of mine. And all the other things I was trying to show him, he practically don't want to look at it. You understand? That's the problem with people who now turn against Brother Branham. They fought against Brother Branham because of the mistake, the word that he uttered that happened to be wrong. They picked those mistakes as well. And they fought against the very truth that God gave. What are you hearing, brother and sister? And, you know, what we are hearing? We are hearing the word of God. We're not hearing the word of a man. I can take, for there are 2,000 tapes of Brother Branham. Okay, I have listened to them, I have read some books of them. I didn't read all of it, of course, I know, because many of them are actually evangelical sermons. Okay, so I have gone through perhaps about 200-300 of them. When I read each book or hear a tape, I get the truth, I get the understanding. Every message of Brother Branham, and I want to tell you this, they are preached correctly in his own context. In his own context. You understand what I'm talking about? You cannot take one here and take another one there, just the Bible. If you don't know how to look at the Bible, you pick one verse, you pick one there, and then you join together. What do you have? You have a God that is three persons. You understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
You see? You pick a verse here, it says trees. Trees bear fruit. You pick a verse in Genesis, and it says tree. And that tree, therefore, is a literal tree. And Adam did. And Eve and Adam ate the literal fruit out of a literal tree. If you do it, you see, that's the thing about it. There are many preachers here in Singapore, around the world, who just make themselves preachers. And many of the preachers are very narcissistic. And that is very true. Just because I was with Brother Branham, I went hunting with him, sit down with him, and ate with him, and so on. And this has become a real problem. So, what are you hearing? Take it to what you hear. What are you hearing? You sit down, you hear a message. What are you hearing? Are you hearing to find fault? What this man is saying to find fault? Or are you hearing what the Spirit is saying? Years ago, Sister Aggie,
Back then, I think it was in the 80s. She came up to me and said, "Oh, there is an Indian man, preacher's coming to St. Luke Chapel. And he knows his, you know, I don't know where she get the news from somebody. Oh, he knows Bob M and he can discern and all these things." I said, "Okay, we go." So I bring him with my wife and we went there. We sit at the back, four rows on the back because it was pretty empty. And in front, there were, in the front row, there were a lot of elderly men and women, you know, weak and on crutches, on walking, you know, what they call a walker. And then we were sitting down, everybody was singing, so the song leader was singing. And that Indian preacher came in. I can't remember the name of that Indian preacher. He came in from the back. You know, everybody, he's supposed to be there on time, but he came from the back. So as he walked down the aisle, everybody turned their head and looked, you know. You know, as he turned and walked down the aisle, you know what he did? He walked down the aisle. He would do this. And he would walk and wanted to have recognition. Do you understand what I'm saying? Instead of just walking right to the front and go to the pulpit, he will walk and he just go around. You know, I was thinking, what will think? And he take his own sweet time walking down the aisle. When we were standing up singing, he sat down. When we were sitting down, he stand up. He stood up. So I was wondering, this guy a comedian. When he went up to the pulpit, he didn't even take his Bible. He started to talk about, oh, Jesus the healer. And then within about 10 minutes, he went up there to, he looked to the those elder lady there. He wanted to be healed. Come on, stand up. Walk, 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 walk. And of course, when you tell somebody to stand up and walk, she will stand up and walk. And I know that these elderly people can walk, only that they could not walk fast. They need a wheelchair. They need a walker to stabilize them, themselves. Here's another, walk, 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 walk. Because she walked, you know, without the walker. And people behind her, hallelujah, he's healed, she's healed. And now after one another, walk, walk, walk. I said, what is this talking about? He didn't even take the scripture, he didn't even pray for the person, the name of Jesus Christ. He said, walk, 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 walk. And I told, remember, I said, that's enough, let's go. That's communion. It's all nothing but a show, something to draw attention as if that he has something. And this is the kind of thing people, a lot of preachers are so narcissistic. Because they have some gifts or something. They cannot humble themselves. They want to seek for recognition, to be somebody. You know. That's why I asked the minister here in Singapore, I said, tell me right, point blank. I said, look at me, tell me point blank. Did the Lord Jesus Christ call you to be a preacher? And he said, oh, that's between me and Jesus. That's between me and the Lord. I said, that's between you and the Lord. Did not Paul said, I am the prisoner of God. I am an apostle. When people ask Paul, what are you? Paul said, I'm an apostle. When somebody asks Paul, what are you? Oh, no, 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 that's between me and Jesus Christ. What? Give your identification. That's why when I went to Uganda years ago, the first time, we sat down, all the ministers gathered together after we traveled for I don't know how many, 10 hours or so in the morning until the evening. We got there, the sunset, we were all filthy and dirty and all nothing but a basin of water. There's no water in the hotel. I want a basin of water to wash myself. You understand? Literally dry cleaning. And my friend was totally black when the water was cleaned up. The water was just as brown as, well, the dust of Africa. And we sat down and said, all right, you're all brothers, you're all ministers? He said, yeah, amen, we are. All right, could you stand up and give us, you know, give us your name and tell us what your position is in the ministry of God. All of us stand up. I'm so and so, I'm an evangelist. No one must stand up. I'm so and so, I'm a pastor. I'm Brother John Mark stood up. I'm Brother John Mark Laosa. I'm an apostle. You are telling about what you are, and then we'll see and prove to you to prove. We want to see whether test you whether you are an apostle or not. Or whatever you're called. Or the only person who stand up, my name is ABC. It is none of your business between me and Christ. Oh yeah? Paul said you should know who labor among you. Is that right? So you want to know. So how do you hear? What you hear? How do you hear? How do you hear? The question of how to hear things. Do you hear what the Spirit of God is speaking? Huh? Or you are hearing what the man is saying? We want to hear
in the way that the Spirit is speaking, in the way the whole context is right. We don't have to pick every picky little words that may be spoken out of grammar context or physiological context or causatively, whatever. You know, all this grammatical, the Barbara was not educated. You see, for taking heart to you. No, we want to look at, you know, see, let's look at this first one, or first question. Now, these are the pages I took from this person who have now turned against William Maria Branham. Okay? Now, the first question I ask is, do you believe that in the beginning there was no God, and that God was created by some greater power? So now all these questions he has, 36 of them. If you answer no, if you answer any of these questions no, that means he is saying that you are against William Branham. You disagree with William Branham. Okay? Alright. So now, do you believe that in the beginning there was no God and God was great, and that God was created by some greater power? So you see, this is very big. Okay, let's look at the answer and see what the answer said. You see, the first creation, that's what William Branham said. The first creation was God Himself. That out of God came the Logos, which was the Son of God. That he was quoting from Brother Branham. Then he said, he quoted from the Bible, he answered from the Bible as he understand it. Before the mother world brought forth or ever thou had formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. Now, if you quote something like that from what Brother Branham said, of course you can make him look like he's a fool. You understand what I'm saying? Is that not right? Like this, if I say I don't believe the Bible, and I quote the Bible anyhow like that, okay, then make some sense that it is contrary to even your faith, then I'm behaving like a fool. Is that right? Now, how many of you know that your Bible has this statement, there is no God? How many of you know that verse? Did you know that the Bible, in your Bible, that there is a statement that says there is no God? So if you just simply take a statement and say there is no God in the book of Proverbs, what did he say? He actually says, the fool said there is no God. Right? The fool said there is no God, but I can just read that out. Take it out from a context. Take it out from that statement and make a statement in his own self. There's a statement. There is no God. But who said that? It's not what God wrote there to say that there's no God. He's saying that the fool said there is no God. Do you understand what I'm talking about? So this man took this quotes of Brother Branham, and then what is he trying to say? The first creation was God Himself, and then out of God came the Logos, which was the Son of God. If we all know what Brother is trying to say, that's not what we need to know. We to take it what we hear and how we hear. How do we take it how we read and what we read? Brother was trying to explain. Now, as I said, Brother is uneducated, full of, you know, grammatical error and construction of words are not right many times. And I don't care whether he is educated or not educated. What I care about is that if he is a man of God, was a man of God, sent for a purpose, the message that he gave must be understood by the Spirit, not by your intellect. You understand that? You think you can know the Bible by going to a Bible theological school or seminary and spend 4, 5 years, 10 years, 20 years that you can understand the Bible? Ha-ha. God won't call man like that. The Bible said, Paul said, you know, God chose preaching. Why did God choose preaching? He said, why? So that it's a foolish thing to the world. Preaching is a very foolish thing. You know? If you want to have signs and wonders, everybody will believe, right? Correct? So, if it's God, show me God. Do some miracles so I can believe in God. Why do you want God want to do that? God want to be preached. God wants to have the word out to you. This is your preaching, this is your religion. It's a foolish thing to the people. That's why God used foolish thing to make a fool out of the so-called wise and intellectual people. That's why God, what did Jesus say? Father, I thank you. that you reveal all this mystery to what? To the babe and such that will learn.
I would challenge him to know, I have a PhD, you know. I'm a professor of theology, you know. I'm a right honorable reverend so-and-so, you know. And who are you? You can tell me that I don't know the Bible. You see, the proud and the cultured people have this problem. You see, and the people that come against Brother Branham, they are the people are such like that. They feel they are using their intellectual wisdom and knowledge and semantics. Oh my. No wonder. Well, I don't blame them after all, because the whole this message under the control of some of this narcissistic preacher have make it a dystopic environment, conditions. It's an algorithm thing that put pressure on people to believe falsehood. So what is O'Brien trying to say? We know that in the book of John, in the beginning was the Word was God, the Word was God, and the Word made flesh, right? Sure. We understand it. We have no problem understanding it. I'm a Ching Chong Chang. Right? Yeah, and here is an open hand. And here is a... what else? I don't know what we have. I mean, whatever, Indonesia. You know, whatever it is, it's not difficult for us to really grasp. Isn't it so? Number two, do you believe that Jesus had no mother? Do you believe that Jesus had no mother? If he said no, you're against Brother Abraham. Let's look at his answer. Okay, Brother Abraham said, he can't have a mother. Jesus was not even anything to marry. But he was an incubator, the hatchet. Right? And he quote this verse, the Holy Virgin shall conceive. I do not know what he's trying to prove unless he's talking about the word name. His name is Emmanuel, God with us. Huh? Now we all know that who was Jesus? Did Jesus have a mother? If he was the word in the beginning, okay, manifest in a certain way, not yet called the Son of God, he's definitely had no mother. So who was married to Jesus? It was an incubator, Brother Graham said. And a lot of people don't like the word incubator. But whatever word we want to use, we should understand. You can call it incubator, hatchery, or whatever. Huh? I don't know what word you want to use. Okay? It's just a word, because Mary was not his real mother. Isn't it? Okay, alright? That's true. Because the very sperm and egg that was in her was from God. The sperm was not even from Joseph. It was totally a new creation. Is that right? Yes. So we understand it, but poor chap, he can't understand. So he's fighting against God. Alright, look at number three. The question he put out. Do you believe that hell is not eternal? Could last 5 minutes and the word everlasting differ from eternal? And if you say no, you are against Brother Branham. But look at the answer he gave. Okay, Brother Branham said then the Bible never says it's eternal. Hell is not eternal. It says everlasting hell. Don't say the word eternal. It says an everlasting hell. It might be 5 minutes, it might be 1 million years, it might be 10 million years. Then he quote Matthew 25:46. And he shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. Let me say this. Brother Branham make a mistake. He was trying to back to explain. Now the word everlasting. He said don't use the word eternal hell. Use the word everlasting hell. Right? Okay. But the word everlasting and eternal is actually the same word translated from Greek. Aeonos. Okay? It means each ending. It has a period. So problem perhaps get lost in that. He thought the word eternal is to many people without end. Okay? But in our context, that sounds better right. When we say eternal, we always say no beginning, no ending. Is that right? Okay, that's English. Everlasting. Everlasting really has a beginning, but it will come to an end. That is what we would think, like evergreen. Evergreen tree. Evergreen tree is not always evergreen, huh? Isn't it? So that's perhaps what's in his mind. I have no problem with that. I know he made that mistake. That's no big deal. because there's human error. But in the Greek word, eternal everlasting is always one word, aeonos. Aeonos means to say each end. Do you understand that? You understand? So you cannot use eternal Son, because Jesus Christ had a beginning. Can you have a son had a beginning? I have a beginning, you have a beginning. Everyone of daughter or son all have a beginning. So we cannot have everlasting son, everlasting daughter. Or eternal son, eternal daughter. There's no such a thing. You see. And I've already told you and explained to you in simplicity to understand the timing. We put a circle. A circle has no beginning, no end, right? It's just forever going. Is that right? And that's what we always say, that the Spirit of God is eternal. But everything that exists came out of this eternal circle, outside the circle. So it becomes a straight line. It starts, is that right? It starts with the God when you're born, or whatever was created, and it goes in a straight line. So that's why Barbara made the same, make a definition. Everything that has a beginning must have an end. Common sense. Right? Sure. You have a beginning, you have an end. But how do you get into eternal life that is in God? Huh? You have to get into that circle. Is that alright? Is that right? As soon as God said, and Paul said, God reconciled us. Is that right? Give us His begotten Son to reconcile us in Christ Jesus back to Himself. Reconcile us to Christ. And by Christ back to Him. Hey, brother and sister, the Bible is an open book to me. What is it so difficult to understand now? What are you looking at? Semantic? Or trying to understand by the Spirit of God? Okay, let us look at the next one, number four. Do you believe that the tree of the knowledge of good or evil in the Bible was a woman? Okay, number four. It's kind of long. Okay, you know what he's trying to explain here? But you know what Brahma was saying? How many of you have read what Brahma said that this the tree, okay? He was referring to a woman. Now Brahma was trying to, and let me say this, that a person who has a revelation and trying to impart the revelation without a good number of vocabulary, without a good vocabulary, I even make a lot of mistakes with the word vocabulary. Vocabulary means words. So if he have not a good vocabulary of words, then he will find it very hard to impart that. You understand that, right? Isn't it? Yeah. Now, if you were talking to me about physics, Daniel or Sister Christopher, trying to impart me physics, I would be lost in it because I have no understanding of all those terms. Even if you are a programmer, computer program, right? If you do not know all those binary, what it means, this, I get lost. And even in the law, lawyers study certain words, what it means. Brother Kartik can tell you that. You see. So if you don't have that amount of words to describe and impart, it's very difficult. So what Brother was trying to say, he was using types and shadows. As soon as I talk about woman, it's a tree. Huh? And which the Bible does say that we men are like trees. Huh? The word trees in the Bible can be used for what? A literal tree? A nation. It can represent a nation. It can represent a shrine. It can represent a human body. You understand that? So of course, he couldn't see it and he's fighting it. And you know what? One man, recently, he wrote an email to me. He said, I've come across a website, I'm blessed by it. You know, I would like to order all your books, if you have them in print. You know, because I asked him to download the PDF file. I said, no, I want it in print. If you have, I'm willing to pay for it. So he sent $120 to Clement. And we had a backpack, the books packed and sent him by it. You know. And you know, he wrote me, he said, thank you very much, I really enjoy your book you're writing. I can say one thing though, I have not really believed in the serpent seed. But your book is the best one I ever read concerning it. If anybody were to read the expensive book or the original sin, he cannot deny the truth that is in it. You cannot be so blind if you read that and still not believe in serpent seed. Because the serpent seed doctrine gives us an understanding about the question, why the blood? When I was in, before I came to this truth, before I know anything about the serpent seed, oh, we only say, without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness of sin, right? We only know, oh, because the Bible said so, you know, it must be the blood and all this. But when I came to realize, I mean, also the question is, why must Jesus be virgin born? Why must he shed blood? Why not something else? Why blood? Or something, you know what, my friend was telling me, oh, the Bible said so, it's blood means it's blood. I said, I know. Why not something else? Well, let's say, why not break a bone? You know what I mean? Why not break a bone? Why not crack the head or the skull? Without the cracking of the skull, there's no remission of sin. Without the breaking of all the ribs, there's no forgiveness of sin. Why not that? Why blood? And that's when the serpent seed gives us the answer. Because of that serpentine nature that was in, that penetrated into man's, because of what happened in the garden, the serpent had sexual intercourse with Eve. And that's when we say, oh no, you people are terrible. You are telling me there is bestiary. You are telling me that a snake has sexual intercourse with a woman and produced a man called Cain. Oh, you people are hideous. You people are weird. But they don't understand what happened there, do they? They don't even understand what was the serpent all about. You see, until you come to know the truth, you will not appreciate, I tell you, the true revelation of the plan and the purpose of God. That's why God gave us this message, to bring us back to know what they know what people said. Oh, the book that I read, this one and the other one, what about it? You know what this man wrote in 251 pages? Another one, not this one, another one. He said that they have never, he said they, meaning those Branhamites, they have never come to a definition of what is the message. Of course, if you ask the Branhamite, how could they give you an answer? They are just as foolish as every religious people in the world. What is the message, brother, sister? What is the message? But I'm asking you, if you don't know now, I'm going to hit you on the head. Alright, what is the message? Huh? Now the Brahma said, the message, all the tips of Brother Brahman. That's not the message. You know what I mean by the message means one. What is the message? It's a simple thing. Turning the hearts of the children back to the apostolic father's way. Come back to the word. That's the message. Plain and simple. But the friend of mine, I don't blame them. These are the people who have fought against Brother Branham now. It's because they get all the information, they were influenced by the Branhamites, and they cannot look beyond the truth. I mean, beyond the mess that these people caught in, into the truth of God's truth. You know, that's when I came to the message, I saw the mess too. But you know, I thank God that He guided me in. I'm willing to look beyond all of this going on into the Word of God. And I thank God for guiding me. Getting me off the mess by one test that I know I fail. Oh, we all fail. We make many mistakes in life. I don't know how many mistakes you made. You may make one. That's good for you. Throughout your life, you only make one mistake. I think you're really blessed. But I make many mistakes, and from that mistake, I learn. We all learn from mistakes. Do you understand that? And God, that's the reason why, you see, though, Peter make mistakes. Right? Paul made mistakes. He was Saul. We all make mistakes. And I thank God for that. He opened my eyes to see into the Word. Not into what Brother Branham said. No! Not what the prophet said. It's what the Spirit of God said. You, Brother, might not that. You're listening to this video, on my audio, you better be careful. And you can go around and say, Brother Gunn is nuts. Thank God for that. I'm an oddball. Yes, I'll be willing to be a nuts for Christ. At least a nuts that holds the truth. You all know that, don't you? don't know what's important. Huh? Like the joke they always say, what is the most important nuts that hold the steering wheel? Huh? There's a big nut that holds the steering wheel and the person, you know, is the car. It is not literal nuts, it's the one who drives. It's the nuts. It's the nut. So he is important because he must know how to hold the steering wheel. You know. And you know this thing, brother and sister, huh? The fivefold ministry. There must be a ministry in this end time. The fivefold ministry is what God gave us. And there is a ministry that had this fivefold. Okay? They lead the fivefold and guide them and set the things in order. And that's what people do not understand. And that's why even the end time message, they are such a mess too. That's right. It is true. And what did Brother Ram say? About people going up in the rapture, 1% and 1%, yeah? He was saying, oh, in my point, you know, he was saying, oh, maybe 1%, 1% only. Well, that is what he's looking at, because we see throughout the millions of people in the days of Noah, millions and millions of them, how many went into the ark? Eight! And all the relatives of all those psychic people, they all died in the flood too. So don't tell me you're a Christian to make the rapture. Oh no. Like many of those ascetic people, huh? They died in the flood. And God will have 8 souls. And the Bible says, I'll be gracious to whom I'll be gracious. And He'll be gracious to you if you have the eyes to see and hold fast to the truth. And I want more grace of God. Grace, grace, grace. More grace of God. But don't make the grace of God a disgrace by saying that you have grace. And you live a life that is contrary to the Word of God. Now let's go on. Yeah, let's go on to number 10. Do you believe that Jesus did not instruct to go for baptizing in the name of Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost? Of course, you look at the answer, you know why? What he'll do? All right, the answer. Problem said, I want anybody that can show me one place where any person was ever baptized in the name of Father, Son, Holy Ghost. I walk out the pulpit and I call myself a hypocrite. And I'm going to say that to say today. But know what he do? He quote Matthew 28:19. Now, Brother Bram is talking about there was nobody ever baptized in the name of Father, Son, Holy Ghost. Now he's asking, did not Jesus command baptize in the name of Jesus, Father, Son, Holy Ghost? Is that right? So, Jesus may give a commandment. But the question, how do you understand this commandment? Huh? Isn't it? And we all know very well that there is but one name, a singular name. Name, not names. And Peter, the day of Pentecost, turned around and said, be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So what else? You want to contradict that? You mean to tell me that Peter does not know what he's speaking about? And in the book of Acts, 12,000 people, if you want to count them more than that, baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not one person was baptized in the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And this person, who believed it, he believed William Branham was a prophet of God. He even wrote a song. But then he turned around now. One moment he said he believed, next moment he's wrong. He's a false prophet. The question, the problem is that he does not know what he's reading or hearing. Huh? How he hear and how he read, or what he hear, what he read, he doesn't even know that he is wrong. He don't even know how. Go to seminary school. You may go to seminary school. Look at a lot of preacher, theologian. How they interpret the Word of God? Huh? I have this man called Bodner. Well, first time I read the book about the Godhead, a thick book. He's a theologian, Bodner. I read through from first page to the last page, trying to understand the Godhead. In the end, the last part of it, he said what? Oh, it's a mystery. We can never understand. He wrote a whole book about it, and he said it's a mystery, we don't understand it. When the first page wrote the book, and unfortunately I didn't buy it, I just borrowed it. Ha! Huh. You see, so he's saying something or writing something, he don't even understand, he even know what he's writing. Do you understand that? You see. Okay, continue quickly. Number 12. Do you believe in astrology?
If he said no, he contradicted Brother Branham, because he said Brother Branham believed in astrology. Let us look and see. Okay, now, he got something in his mind. And what is he doing? He's writing his first Bible. The first Bible that man ever looked to was the star, the zodiac. And now he, what he quote? He quote Deuteronomy 4:19. And beware not to lift up your eyes to heaven and see the sun, the moon, and the star, all the hosts of heaven, and be drawn away and worship them and serve them, those which God your Lord has allocated to all the people under the whole heaven. Hey, that is, you know, he don't even know what he's saying. Huh? Brother Brown is, well, we all know, there are three witnesses. There are three witnesses of the Bible. I'm not talking about the two witnesses to the Jew. I'm talking, there are three witnesses, because God works in three. What is the first witness? The stars. The zodiac tells you the story. And we are not worshipping the stars just because we understand the zodiac. Look at Job in the Bible. My friend, read your book of Job. Right? Was he an astrologer or was he an astronomer? You can look at the stars and talk about the stars. Why did they name the star the way they named it? Cancer, Virgo, Leo, Sagittarius, and all these others. Why do they name it that way? And the Bible said, Job says, God called those stars by name. They all have a name, because they represent something. But knowing that and studying doesn't mean that we are worshipping it. Isn't it? By this man is quoting Deuteronomy, the way what was written down by Moses, he's trying to say that Abraham is worshipping the stars, worshipping the zodiac. No. The first witness of the Bible is the star. It tells us the whole story. The second witness is the pyramid of Giza. Alright? The star is the first. The stone is the second. The third is on Papyrus. And there is the fourth. Where is the fourth? It's you. Right? You are an epistle to be read by all men. Exactly. So you don't see. Now, if you look at me, you are seeing. What are you seeing? If I look at you, I'm supposed to see Christ in you, right? If I look at you, am I worshipping you? No. Nothing to do with that. If I study the pyramid, I'm not worshipping the pyramid. If I study the star, I'm not worshipping the stars. Oh man, it doesn't look, man. That's why I told this man, I said, you don't even know what you're writing. And I said, did God ask you to write all this? You're doing more harm to the truth than trying to save the Branhamites. All of their mess. Alright, next one. Number 19. Alright. The pyramid of Jesus Christ was not eternal. We all know that. Alright, and what did he say? He said that, see, there cannot be an eternal Son, because the Son had to have a beginning. And so Jesus had a beginning. God had no beginning, see? Now he quoted John. Then said John unto him, art thou not yet 50 years old? And thou hast seen Abraham? Jesus said to him, very, very, I said unto you, before Abraham was I am. What does that mean? He was the Word! He was in the mind of God. He was the Word that appeared in theophany form to who? Abraham, Moses, Gideon, Daniel, and all those prophets of old. Right? Of course, he was not called Jesus then. Right, because Jesus had the beginning. Because that which was manifest in the Old Testament, he was the Logos. He was a theophany of God. He was God. That's just what people don't understand about the Godhead. They don't know what they are worshipping. Next one. 22. Oh, 20, sorry. Do you believe that Jesus was a Jew? Do you believe Jesus was a Jew? How many of you believe Jesus was a Jew? If you say yes, you're not wrong. If you say no, you're not wrong either. Okay, let's see what Brother Branham said. See how people... Somebody said, remember, don't say nothing about a Jew because he was a Jew. Jesus wasn't a Jew. Now here he said, then a woman of Samaria said unto him, how is it thou being a Jew? You see, he's picking up this verse. First of all, was Jesus a real Jew? Because no, he was not a Jew. Because he did not come literally from any Jewish blood. But he was born into a true Jewish family. By genealogy of Mary and Joseph, so to speak. So what is that so hard to understand what Brother Branham is saying? Oh, my poor chap. Oh, poor chap. Jolly, jolly poor chap. I don't understand how people can understand simple things. If I tell you this, brother, I'm not Chinese. Did you believe me that I'm not Chinese? You better believe I'm not Chinese. I'm Singaporean. Am I not right? Sure, isn't it? If I know sometimes I go to those other countries and say, oh, you are Chinese. I said, no, I'm Singaporean. Oh, you know, no, Ching Chong Chang. You're Chinese. No, I'm a Singaporean. But you look Chinese. I look Chinese, yes. But I'm Singaporean. People are confusing the Chinese national and the Chinese Singaporean. Anyway, you see, if you live in America, you got a green card and you live there, you are a citizen of America. They say, you are Chinese, I'm American. Oh, you are Chinese and you are American, of course. So the same thing with Jesus Christ. Isn't it? Like he was Jew and yet not Jew. And you see what I'm talking about. If you can't understand it, oh, poor chap, I tell you, you really don't even know the Bible. I don't know how you're reading the Bible. Next one, 22. Do you believe that a baby in a womb is not alive? Now, remember here, 22. Oh, you say, it's alive. No, it isn't. That's a little nerve-jerking muscle. See, the baby has not received life till it's born. Now, you quote Luke 1:44. For lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. So you know, here Elizabeth came. Talk to Mary, oh, how blessed thou art, and all this. And then the baby, you know, the womb leap. That means there is real life. Okay, let me ask you this question. How old was that baby? Now Elizabeth was conceived also. Right? Okay? She conceived John, the Baptist. John the Baptist was 6 months older than Jesus. So now when Elizabeth came to her and said and gave her the salutation, how many weeks was that little baby Jesus inside? How many? We don't know, right? It could be a week. It could be a month. Isn't it? It could be 2 months, maybe 3 months before John was born. You understand that? Okay, fine. So now, let me ask you a question. If the baby is 9 months old, full grown, have everything already, right? Okay? And if you say that baby has a soul, full grown, ready to be popped up into the wall, okay? If you say that it has a soul, then I will ask you a question. If the little chap that's out there, 1 week old, does it have a soul? I want you to think about it. 9 months, full already. If you said you have a soul, 1 week inside there, not your full, like a little temple. If it's, can you say you have a soul? Or when the sperm meets the egg and the cell split, does it have a soul? All you have to do is, whenever you study the scripture, come about something, ask questions. When, from the moment of conception to the day the child was about to be born, all the time he was in the womb, at which point in time of these 9 months, can you tell me that little baby, or little fetus, or little temple, or little 1, 2 cell, 4 cell, 6 cell, 8 cell, you know, 16 cell, have a soul? At which state can you tell me that you have a soul? If you can tell me, then I say, you're jolly, jolly, very, very wise and very knowledgeable. Huh? You understand that? You see, what God is trying to show us as a manifestation is that Mary was anointed to bear the child. You understand? And the Holy Spirit is keeping her. So of course, when the solution came, the Holy Spirit was there. And the little muscle, nerve and everything twitched. Now, how many of you ever, like when you are praying, suddenly you feel, oh, your body's up shape. Right? You get anointed, you get the unction. Is that right, Brian? How many of you? How many of you are praying in your room by yourself? Gloria and Gloria, suddenly you just, oh, you just feel so wonderful because the Spirit of God is there and you just wanted to jump and dance for joy. I mean, in the shower sometimes I do that. I just open my heart, you might think I'm crazy. You know, the joy is actually the Spirit of God. You feel the joy, you get excited. Your body wanted to move. Now, if that baby has a soul, okay, then this person doesn't know. Let me ask you, if you take a lizard, you try to catch a lizard, he'll trick you. You leave the tail behind, and the body goes. Right? And the tail is moving. Hey, it's alive. Is that really alive? You take a chicken, like not, you don't do it in Singapore here. Oh, normally in Asia, very few people do it. But the American do it. They take a turkey or a chicken, and they take an axe, put a chicken head and the neck across a stump of a tree, and use an egg, pop, and they throw the body, and the body starts to run without the head. It's alive, it's alive! Have you seen that? Is it really alive? If I were to cut off the head with a samurai sword, I cut it off, the head drop and bite. Sometimes it does bite the dirt. You know that? According to history, what I know, when the Japanese cut off the head of a person, they cut off the head drop forward, huh? It bites the dirt. And the body, it's alive! He's a headless person. Is it alive? Or is it master teaching? You know, you must distinguish what is a soul and what is muscle and nerve. Yes or no? Yes. Correct? Yes, you understand what I'm talking about? Yes. You see. So, well, this person just so much on that. Okay, let us go next one. 26. Do you know that Adam was not formed from the dust of the earth, as the Bible states? Okay, see what he said, 26. He made the man and woman before they were ever formed out of the dust of the earth. You believe that, don't you? Huh? How was Adam first made? How was he first created? I'm sure people don't understand that. That's the why I have that book on the Logos, the beginning of the creation of the law of God, and the book, the image and the likeness of God, where everything is detailed, and you cannot miss the understanding of that. That Adam was first created a spirit, not from the dust. Before God put Adam into the body of dust, and then separate the woman from the man. And yet today many people don't even understand the mystery. Why God do it that way? Huh? Okay. 28. Do you believe the gospel was not for the Jew? Brother Abraham said, do you know the gospel was not for the... I mean, he didn't say that, but he's is asking the question. But listen to what Brother Abraham said. 26. 28. Stay away from Israel. Stay away from him. All you people that talk about converting the Jews, before this message is over, you will see, thus saith the Lord, by word and by spirit, Israel will be converted over the whole nation in one night. The Bible said so. But the gospel, not even to them. Now he's quoting Acts 20:21. He's going back to history. Okay? Thus saith the Lord both to the Jew and to the Greek, dependent towards God and faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ. Now what was Barman trying to say? We all know the dispensation of time. Abraham wanted to go to Israel and preach to the Israel. But the Lord prevented him from going. He said he will not hear you Gentile. You will be sent, they will have the gospel when the two witnesses come upon the scene. Is that right? Sure. But Abraham was talking about, no, it's not the time for us to go convert Israel. Do you understand that? But he's talking about individual Jew. No. You can convert, you can talk to individual Jews. You understand that? Sure, there have been Jews converted into the gospel, but as the whole, it is not God's time for them. That's what Barnabas is talking about. Not that we cannot preach the gospel to the Jew. So here is how these people distorted the words, not only of God, but also what Barnabas is trying to say. They cannot understand, they make a mess. 29. Do you believe that committing adultery is not a sin? How many of you believe that? Don't get an answer yet. Don't get an answer. Okay, how many of you believe that committing adultery is not a sin? How many of you believe that committing adultery is not a sin? You know, we need to understand what problem meant by it. But apparently this person does not. Okay, let's go to the answer. Alright, smoking is not a sin. Cursing is not a sin. Committing adultery is not a sin. Lying is not a sin. It isn't sin. That's the result of unbelief. That's why you do it.
But here's what he's quoting. Whosoever commits sin, transgress again, for sin is transgression of the law, all unrighteousness is sin. And there's not a sin not unto them. There's a sin not unto them.
Okay, let me tell you this.
If you see a man cursing, if you see a man smoking, if you see a man fornicating, getting drunk, why did he do that? He said, that's a sin. No, it's not a sin. He's a sinner to begin with. That's why he do that. That's why Brother Abraham said, a sinner commits sin. Christians do not commit sin, which the Bible did say. Huh? Sure. I mean, sorry, say that. Put it the other way. The sinner do not commit sin. The Christian commits sin. Because we know the truth, but we commit it. Okay, yet, Abraham also another time said, the Christian don't sin, which the Bible did say. But because of temptation, we fall into it. But our sins have been forgiven even from the beginning. All you have to do is go back and repent. That's it. But the person who commits adultery, drinking, smoking, and all that is because of unbelief. He does not believe what the Bible said. He does not believe the law of God. That's why he do that. You see. So there's so much to try. You know, Barabbas is trying to get across. And if you don't understand it, you better ask the Lord what is he trying to say. Look at the Bible. You know. But the problem is, the Branham's children are telling the people that all your questions have the answer in the tapes of Brother Branham. I'm sorry. That's not true. That's a lie. That's a lie. Brother Joseph Branham. Even Brother Billy Paul. You have this grace, your father. That's why we have this mess today. But every time like this is an idolatry. It's an adorous church. If Brother Branham's alive today, I don't know what he's going to do. You see, a word of God as truth has become so distorted. Let's just go on to number 30. Do you believe that Christians do not sin? Okay, there's one we already tried to look at. Okay, anyway, look at it. For by one spirit we are all baptized into one body and are free from sin. And we cannot sin. If we are free from sin, we cannot sin. That's obvious because if we are the spirit of God, we cannot sin. There is a sin of atonement waiting for us. And if there is still desire in your heart to sin, you have never been baptized into that body because you are dead and your life is hid in Christ. That is to say, if you are born and baptized into it through God and received by the Holy Ghost. Christians don't sin. They make mistakes, but they don't sin. And here was Paul said. Of course, what he called Paul was true, isn't it? Right? I find in the law that when I do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But there is another law that works, one against the, in my member, one against the law of my mind. And bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. Now, that's the thing about it. When you are not a Christian, you do whatever you like, because there's no war inside your member. But when you are a Christian, you have the white dog and the black dog, so said the Indian chief who was converted. He said, oh, there is this white dog and black dog fighting against me. And so Brother Ben says, so who wins? It's up to you what you want to feed. Which one you want to feed? You feed the white dog wins. If you feed the black dog wins. Obviously, there's no doubt about it. That's what Paul said. Now that I'm a Christian, there is this warning that comes against me in my members. That I know the thing I should do, I do not. The thing that I should not do, I do it. Why? Because of that temptation, the struggle, and you fall into it. God knows about it. God knows about it. And all you have to do is to cry to the Lord, help me. Overcome this. You understand? You see. Some people say, oh, long time, someone told me, he said, oh, you are teaching this that a Christian will not sin. So you are telling them that they can go and sin and it's okay. I said, they are putting words in my mouth. If you go, you see, if you say, now, I'm a Christian, I cannot sin. And you go out there smoking, drinking, and get, you know, fornicating. In the first place, it tells me you're not a believer. Is that not so? It tells me that you are not even having the Holy Ghost yet. When you disobey the word of God, something is wrong. You see? We are talking about living the life, and when temptation comes, there's a struggle, we fall into it, we get up and say, Lord, forgive me. And the Lord knows about it. But you insist on doing what you should not do, and something is wrong. You better get on your knee and fast and pray. So many people ask me out there, brother, come pray for me, I have this. I said, no, brother. We can pray for you, you can do so much. But you need to go on your knees and you pray and you fast. I cannot give you the Holy Spirit. Can I? No. It's your heart, your attitude. God knows your attitude. You say, and your attitude is right, we pray. You get the blessings from God, you get your healing, you get the Holy Ghost baptism. You know. Otherwise, all you're asking for prayer will not do you any good. Your spirit is wrong. Let us quickly go on next one now. 30. Oh. Is it 30? Let me see. Okay, 31. Just 4 more. 31. Do you believe that Daniel and Ezekiel were not on the earth at the same time as described in the Bible? Of course, this is where we have Brother Bram talk about there were never two major prophets on the earth at the same time. Is that right? So, you see, if you use a bunch of men, you get different ideas. See? Each man, two men. Never did God have two major prophets on the earth at the same time. Now, of course, that is what Brother Bram said. And that's where I almost make that mistake. Or I make that mistake and was trailing off. And I thank God for it. Because I know that in the Bible, there's Daniel, Ezekiel, Jeremiah, they are contemporaries. Okay? But when Brother Bram said there were never two major prophets on the earth at the same time, the question is, was his mind talking about the Old Testament prophet, or was he talking about the New Testament prophets or the messenger? Do you understand? This has always been the question to many people. That's why these people are picking up this fault. And I said this many times, Brother Bram has a lot of responsibility. Okay? Have a lot of responsibility. There are a lot of call for crusades, a lot of call for meetings, lots of call for prayer for those sick, or for those who are sick. And there are appointments where people come to his office for counseling. Do you know how much stress he got, he had? Huh? So when he stand up pulpit and preach, and he trying to get things across in the right manner. He may say it the wrong way, his mind may be on something. That's why people have a problem in trying to understand Daniel's 70th week. Whether it's 7 years left or 3.5 years left. If you don't want to know the answer, go to the 61. When he preached a whole for 4 nights, the series on Daniel, 70th week. Huh? And he got it there, correct. But when he left on in 63, when he opened to talk about the seal. In the seal, when he talked about the great tribulation, all these things, and he talked about, oh, there's 3.5 years now, because Jesus preached for 3.5 years and so on, right? And people get messed up. And you know, he tried to answer it, right? Maybe he made the mistake on that. That is no big problem. Because we know that he is human. You see, when I read that, I know that was just a mistake. Because you lost the thought. And many times you also hear me preaching here, I said the wrong word, said the wrong person. Is that right? That's very common. Who is so perfect that they don't make mistakes in speaking? That's what Brother Bram said, I am not a scribe. You know what a scribe is? He said, when I stand here and preach, I can make a lot of mistakes with my words. But if I sit down to script the message, I can have time to look through, make sure that I get it right. Is that right? Not just about my grammar, but most of it that my thought in presenting get across right. Do you understand? And I thank God. You know, I'm not meant to be a scribe. But somehow the Lord made me sit down and write them. You know? And I can write in such a way that it present the truth easier to understand. I didn't even know it. And Sister Bree was telling me, Ronald Isenbergen, you have such a way of explaining something so simple. In such a simple way to get it across. You know. But not everybody can do that. And what is this man trying to say? You know. And what are those Dalton Bruce, man like Dalton Bruce and some of these Branhamites out there who attacked me? What are they trying to say? Does it make sense? All they have is a bunch of courts of brethren. The Bible says, thou shalt know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. And the Bible, and the question was asked, what is truth? What is truth? Thy word, O Lord, is truth. Nothing else. 33. Do you believe the woman of the Bible did not shave their head for mourning? If you say no, then you are against Brother Branham. Now, what did the Bible say about woman's head? The head. The hair. Okay. 33. Now I know you ladies don't like this kind of preaching. Right? No, yeah. Is it Brother Branham said, no, you know, sister, I love you. I'm not against you. Okay, but these are facts of the Bible. Okay. But sister, you are dead wrong in that you are doing. The Bible forbids you to cut your hair. You look at the Bible and see if it's true. Okay? God gave it for a covering. He gave a commandment for you to wear it long. It's your glory. Because hair is what represents, you see, you woman is a lady. Your hair is given for a covering. Okay? Because it's your glory. What Paul is trying to say is that we are the church. The church is the bride of Christ, right? Amen. And the word of God is given to us for a covering. And the hair should be let it grow. As you let the word of God's word grow in you. And if you want to be disobedient and keep cutting your hair, you face God. Because God wants people to be obedient to the word. He said, oh, but again, I think it's okay for me to do a little cutting here and there and blah, blah, blah. Don't tell me that, tell God. Because if you want to make the rapture, God is going to horn the pyramids. Remember, every stone of the pyramid is chiseled before they are fitted. Do you understand? Where was it horned? Where was it chiseled? It was chiseled up the river now, before it was brought down to the delta of Goshen, where they built the pyramid. If it comes down and it doesn't fit in, it is thrown away. You want to fit in? Obey everything. No, listen, I'm not overseeing. The Bible said that. Look at carefully what the book of Corinthians tells us in chapter 11, 1 Corinthians, about the hair. And you think you want to pray a full minute? Go ahead and pray. This truth is not to be prayed. It's to be believed and lived, because we are coming to the end where Christ is going to pick us up and not throw it out. It's not just about doctrine. It's about your life. You understand? Okay? So what did he say now? Okay. 33, what did he say? And here he said, when you go to war against your enemy, the Lord your God delivered them into your hand. You can take that captive, and you see among the captives a beautiful woman, and desire her, and will take her for your wife. Then you shall bring her home to your house, and she shall shave her head and trim her nail. So, he's taking this verse to sort of say, God allow you to cut your hair. Even to shape, you woman to shape your forehead. That's Old Testament, and that's the reason why God said this. To whom was this said? Let me tell you this. Wake up. You know what was said in that verse that he picked up? You know, God forbid the children of Israel. There are seven nations out there in Canaan land that God forbid the children of Israel to marry them, the woman. You understand? Do you understand? That means a Jew cannot go out there to a neighboring nation, one of those seven, and see a beautiful one, I'll take her and marry her. God says, you are forbidden. But during a battle, during a war, when there is a war fought, a battle fought, and God gives them the victory, they got a captive, right? The man, the children, the woman. When you take the captive and you see a woman that you desire, then God allows it. You cannot go and marry her out there, when there's no war. Only the captive. You take the captive, the woman, and you can marry them. Do you understand? God do not want the children of Israel to be barbaric. Like many times we see in Iraq, Afghanistan, all the U.S. Marine, all these men out there, they rape the woman too, right? Yes, during the war. Look at the Japanese. They came to Singapore, Malaysia, they rape the woman. Right? And make them comfort women. Is that right? God will not want them to do that. But when you make them captive, you take them. You're captive. You're spoiled. You can take them back. And if you want to marry this woman, remember, she is not of Israel. Therefore, she must go to a certain region. And one of ritual is to shave off her head. So that the people around will know that you desire this woman, but she is to be to shame. That she is not, because she is not of the Jew. Not of Israel, and she's a pagan. Now let her hair grow. Do you understand that? And then trim the nail. All these are all that which God wants to show the children of Israel. That she is not of Israel. But you want to marry her, do this ritual. Let her hair grow anew. But this man is taking this verse as if that God allows you woman to cut your hair. And you're going to shave your head, boy. And Paul said what the Bible Paul said. If it's a shame for a woman to trim her hair, might as well shave the whole thing off. And see what is a shame. Correct? Yes. That's all the Paul has been trying to show. But you don't understand. Hey, we are people that is different from the world. Different from the religion. Even in Christianity. We have a light of the Word of God for this hour that we better abide by. Now serious. If God give it to us and restore us back to it, you better think twice. For 2,000 years, the truth had never been expounded in the way that God gives us today. Many of the mysteries that is opened up to us. Do you think that John Wesley saw it? Do you think that Martin Luther saw it? No. No. Okay, come to the next one. 34. Do you believe that mankind is not currently in the image of God? Mankind is not currently is not in the image of God. Is that not true? No? Of course. Many people say, yes, we are in the image of God. Hey, brother. Now you are. Prior to that, you are not. Mankind, in general, are not in the image of God. Why? Okay, look what Brother Branham said. Now, whenever he listened to the love of God, the holy image of God left them, and the fellowship was broken with God. And here he said, of course, he quotes Genesis 9:6. Who shed man's blood? A man shed his blood be shed for in the image of God, make him man. Of course, when God created Adam, he was created in the image of God, right? But what happened to that image? What happened to the image of God in man? It was a fallen image. Why? Because of sin. Yes or no, right? Yes. How do I know? The Bible said so. How? The first place, when the serpent came into Eve, right? And they fornicated. What did Adam do? Adam took Eve, right? Identified with a sin. She is willing to bear that sin. And because of that, what did the Bible say? And God imputed upon Adam. Sin. Sin was imputed upon Adam. Now if sin imputed upon Adam, who was in the image of God, what happened to the image? You take a milk, a glass of milk, put a drop of coffee. You still look white, right? Is that not so? Yes, sir. But what happened to that milk? It's already tinted. It lost its full purity of milk. So when sin came upon Adam, when God imputed him sin, the image is fallen, a fallen image. That's what Balaam is trying to say. Huh? And that's just why when God sent us his son, we are, what did the Bible say? We are going back to the image of his son. Amen! Oh my brothers and sisters, you don't know the gospel, you are in big shape. Bad shape. Big bad shape. We thank God for truth! Right? Yes. Okay, next one. 35, the last one we'll talk about. There are many other 36, but I'm not going to deal with this. I'm going to take a lot of long to explain. Are all the sleeping virgin who heard the truth about the Holy Ghost condemning the judgment? Yes or no? If you say no, well, you disagree with our brand. Okay, tell us what the Bible says. Oh, okay, no one's what the answer is. Not a sleeping virgin. She lost her place. We know that she comes up in the judgment. And if she ever heard the truth, she's condemned. And then unto him is able to keep you from falling and all these things now. And we know that God is keeping us away from falling. But we need to understand about the virgin. And which I think many people do not understand. I have preached on it, I have detailed it, and it should not be difficult to understand as to the question, who are the foolish virgins? Now the foolish virgin, all virgins are virgins. All wheat are wheat. That's why I always say this. Very simple. In the church of God, when Christ came, what did he sow? He sowed what? Seeds. What kind of seeds? Wheat.
And all wheat that he sowed must be wheat that he's going to gather. Am I not right? Common sense will tell you. Amen. You sow wheat, you get wheat. But here come the enemies to sow tares. So tares are not wheat. And wheat are not tares. Correct? So Christ is coming together with wheat. But as we look into the mystery of God further, there is more selection. So now, we know that not all wheat are pollinated. But all wheat are wheat. You know what I mean by not pollinated? It means if the wheat is not pollinated, it will not germinate. How many of you ever eat green pea? And then sometimes you eat green pea, you boil them into a pea soup, and then when you eat them, you know, you bite one that's really hard. Huh? Correct? Why is that hard? That one must be a real terrible Judah Iscariot type. You threw away, right? He said, so the same thing like wheat. Not all wheat will germinate. Not all wheat will pollinate, but there's still wheat. But God is not looking for the wheat that are pollinated to get them separate. Then now the sin changed. Now he used the virgins. You understand that now? Because he used virgin, because now, in the end time message, the virgin is used, because wheat was used in the previous ages. But now, God is trying to, he's going to look for the virgin. Those that heard the message. Remember this. What is the message? Matthew 25, tell us all that. Huh? The marriage of the Lamb. At midnight, there was a cry made. At midnight, there was a message. Behold, the bridegroom cometh, come out to meet him. So we come out from where? From the system. And those who come out from the system are virgins. They don't mix it any man-made doctrines. But half of these 10 virgins, they went to sleep. They went back to the system again. Remember, all virgins are one, are those who have heard the message. The charismatic are not the foolish virgin. There's some said they are foolish, but they're not. Those who have heard the message and went to sleep, they go back to sleep in an organization type of church. Like today we see the anti-message. A lot of men anti-message, the Branhamites, the men of this one, they are foolish virgins. That's what they are. They went back into a system. That's what it is. They're Celtic. And the Baptists are Celtic, the Methodists are Celtic, any of the denominations you belong to that do not look into the Bible but stay with the tradition of their organization are Celtic. So they went to sleep in that state. That's why the Branhamites, they think they're wise virgin. No. Many of them are just foolish. Because why? The foolish virgin do not have oil. They don't carry enough oil with them. The wise one carried the oil. And that's the reason why the wise virgin had entered into the marriage now. And we are in the marriage. And the foolish virgin, the Branhamites, still looking for the truth. And they are just messed up. Why? They don't have ears to hear. They say in the book of Revelation, he that have a ear to hear, then hear what the Spirit of God said to the churches. And that's how important it is that we need to really help them. Let me in closing say this. We know that there are a lot of people that are stumbling blocks in this entire message. Because of these people, they get all confused, leave the church, they're here in Singapore. When the first church split up, they came out splitting, and those of them were so upset, they were so excited when they came to the message. Then what happened? They saw the mess, they went back to the world. Or they went back to charismatic churches or Pentecostal. Right? And the same thing, Brother John, were you not so? When you were just all confused because of what? You went to this church and that church. Is that all right, Brother Lawrence? Yes. Even Sister Lucy, right? You don't know where to go. You know. But if your heart has the desire to face truth, to seek for it, God will show it to you. You know. And just don't be a stumbling block. The other thing is that here we are, the Bible in the book of Romans 8, 14. Turn to that last verse.
For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God.
Now, you remember how the Bible, when you read, take heed how you read and what you read. Read it again.
For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God.
Got it?
For as many they are led by the Spirit, they are the sons of God. But a lot of Christians say, I'm a Christian. I am led by the Spirit. I beg your pardon, the Bible didn't say that. Yeah, the Bible said that. Because I'm a Christian, the Holy Spirit will lead me. Yeah, you can say that, but that's not what the Bible said. The Bible makes a positive result. That is to say, there they are led by the Spirit, they are the sons of God. Not because you are the son of God, you will be. Not necessary. You get what I'm talking about? Yeah. You see? So what are you? If you really are led by the Spirit of God, then you are the sons of God. But don't tell me that I'm a son of God, I'm a believer, I will be led by the Spirit. I will be. Yes, I will be. But not necessarily, because many of you, many people want to be led by your own self. I want to lead myself. This is the way. This is the way. That's not why we have people in the end time message. People who are not called to the ministry feel that they have a ministry. Huh? Are they led by the Spirit of God into the ministry? Or they feel that that's what the Holy Spirit wants them to do. And find out that they are actually leading themselves into a ministry that is not of God. Lastly, I want to say this. I believe that God worked with us, people. As the Bible said, in the last day, I'll pour out my spirit upon all flesh. And young men shall see dream, and young men shall see vision, and daughters shall prophesy, and so on and so on. Eh? And I believe that. God can give dreams, I mean God can give signs and wonders to anybody out there. Denomination, anybody, as long as you want desire, something will give to you. But when God works with visions and dreams, okay, He can give it to anybody out there, denomination, to do certain thing. But when it comes to this end time message, there is always a continuity. You are talking about a continuity. Let me tell you this. I told you this before that. Why did God use imagery? Huh? God used imagery to show something to His children, to His church. In the book of Revelation, John was caught up in a vision. He saw all this imagery. Those things do not exist in heaven. They are only image and signs and object that God is using to represent something. In some connection to something. Right? Talk about the seven candlesticks, you know what represent. The two olive trees, you know what represent. Because what? There is this imagery that are shown to the Old Testament already. How that God dealt with them about these trees and this candlestick and everything. Okay. Now when it comes to the end time message, the same thing. God will also use imagery in this 20th century, the last day. Now, when Brother Man came along, he had a lot of visions and dreams and so on regarding what he must do it and all this. He may get messed up in times and signs, like this person was trying to say. Other person was trying to say, Brother Man one time talked about it's a cabin, you know, where the angel appeared to him and there's a cave. And later on, Brother Man used a lot of time, he said it's a house, a cabin. You know why he wants to mention about the cave? Because if you read the book Supernatural, Brother Owen Jobinson will tell you why. You see, because Brother Man wanted to keep away people from entering into the cave. And the cabin was not very far from that cave. You understand? Because when he mentioned cave and mentioned about the place, people will go look for the cave and go in. You know what I mean? It's a place where he always, you know, secluded himself and to talk to the Lord. You see, so a lot of people say, you see, Brother Branham, see, one moment says a cabin, the next moment says cave. But you need to know answer his why. But he's not telling a lie, because the cabin was nearby. You see, now, the same thing, when we have in this last day, you see, many ministers who have the truth of God, and I believe this to be very true, they will have visions or dreams that relate to this ministry that God give us in the last day, the fivefold ministry. But you were tied to Brother Branham's message of coming back to the Word. Look, why do you think I had a dream and the visions of Christ and Brother Branham? Why do you think that Brother Nice had the same? You understand that? Huh? Why was the imagery of Brother Branham in the dream or vision so special? We didn't say, Lord, I want to dream dreams. No, as Baba Bam said, you know, Baba Bam said, now dream me a dream. Can you do it? You can't. He said, dream a vision is God dealing with the man. Huh? Sure. You see, if you are seeking for the truth of Brother Nice, he was 2 years without direction. Remember that? He came here, I talked to him, I gave you the answer, he said, this is what I play, Brother God. I was never proselyting him, no way. That's not in my heart to proselyte any person. You know, and I don't know what he was looking for when he was asking me. So he went back 2 years without direction. And only after that, when he was so much in that state, that God gave him this dream. You know, about the river of water, right? Refreshing water. And he saw Brother Graham standing, he saw me, and I gave him the water, and he said, I don't want to take it from you, Brother Graham, because in the dream he said, that how will people say if I take the water from his hand? You know, and I said, look behind you. In the dream, he looked behind, there was Brother Branham. And Brother looked at him and said, we dream from the same source. Right? We dream from the same source. But there is a preacher here, he wrote on his website, oh, now I understand, he's on the opposite side. What do you mean by opposite? We drink from the same source. Whether we are on this side or that side, in the water or not, we are drinking from the same source. Amen? But he is trying to find, you see, people who are jealous of someone, they will have all these things. But let me come here and say this. I'm not the only one that have dream of Brother Branham. There are people who in Uganda, in the Philippines, listen to Brother Osa's dream. Why God identified him, let him identify with my ministry here? What about those in Uganda and all those others? They have dreams too. Because their dream must be in continuity regarding this truth that we have. But if you have an antagonistic spirit, you don't have a ear to hear, or a heart to receive, God cannot show you any further. And I'm speaking that to ministers. That is true. Think about it. If you have a call of God, you will have something tied to the original. That's what, as Brother Nice said, in the dream, when I turned and looked at Brother Abraham, behind him there were Paul and all these things. I said, further go down, I couldn't see them. Who they were. They were all identified in the row. You see, they all have to come with identification. There is a continuity of the truth. So I pray that they will help you understand to take heed to what we hear, to take heed to what and how we hear. Because otherwise we don't any hearing, we hear not. And that what we have will be taken away from us. And we certainly do not want to lose what we already have. We want more to be added to what we already have. Let our spirit be right in the eyes of God. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for your grace. Thank you, Lord, and we ask that you open the eyes and the hearts of your children, Lord, everywhere. That truly, Lord, have the desire to know truth. That they might have the ear to hear what thy spirit said to the churches in the last day. And we pray also, Lord, that each and every one of us here and other places will have the right spirit to take heed to how they hear and to what they hear. We commend every one of us here to your hand, O Lord, and ask that you bless this day in the word that we have heard, that you have delivered unto us in Jesus' name. Amen.